under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just wait and see, don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll dance your fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second hour on this Friday, October 18th, 2024 edition of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us every Friday from 10 to 11 in this hour is Pastor Chatfield. He has a history lesson, a discussion, usually ends up tying it to current events of the day. Got an interesting one. We've talked about this many, many times before, but he wants to bring it up again today. Benjamin Franklin, what did he have to say? When did he say it? What was the outcome? Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Yes, we've talked about this numerous times, but, you know, I find out not all your listeners listen absolutely every week, but this is worth going over repeatedly. 1787, the summer, we're in the Constitutional Convention. Pretty much everybody had figured out that the Articles of Confederation were too weak. There was no executive power. There's no power to tax. The Articles of Confederation, which was the first plan of government that we operated on as a nation, just wasn't sufficient. It called itself a strong league of friendship. It was like a strong alliance among states. States were taxing each other. States were threatening to go to war with each other. They had their own money. There was no unity, and there was something called Shays' Rebellion out there in western Massachusetts by a former sergeant in George Washington's army, where they were rebelling, and he says, we have to do something. We have to strengthen our government. They met once before 1787 in Mount Vernon. That's George Washington's home. Say, we have to strengthen this. And then another time in Annapolis, Maryland. And they decided that they were going to go go to Philadelphia, Independence Hall, ostensibly just to amend the Articles. But they decided pretty quick, we're not going to amend the Articles. We're going to completely overhaul the Articles of Confederation, do away with it, and start from scratch and write a new Constitution. And not everybody was there. Patrick Henry from Virginia was not there. He was invited. He said, I smell a rat. What is going on here? He would be later one that would be kind of called a anti-federalist or maybe even a Republican. He wanted strong state governments, and a lot of people were afraid of having a strong central government. They were afraid of a standing army. They didn't want that. But on the other hand, other people saw, especially Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, George Washington, saw, hey, we got to have a stronger government. You have to have government. As in Federalist Paper No. 51, where Madison said, if men were angels, we wouldn't need a government.
Right.
And if angels ruled over men, we wouldn't need any sort of constitution. But the problem is, men are not angels. And we need a government that can control, bring order, can control people, in a sense, but also can control itself. So that was the task. And so in the summer of 1787, 55 delegates meeting there. Oh, there were more than that to begin with. But anyway, they were trying to write up a new system of government. Very difficult task. Now, these guys.
One thing that I always talk about is it is, in fact, the rule book for the federal government, what it can do, what it can't do. It basically lays out every potential consequence, function, whatever you want to talk about of the federal government, it's laid out in that Constitution. We'll continue. Short break. A word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Trucker Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. patriotsrelief.com.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy, a MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Hey, Patriots, this is the boss of Veteran John, his wife, Jamie, in Sheboygan. Taste the purest artesian water on God's green earth, Mega Water, PFAS-free, mineral-rich, naturally alkaline, 8.3 pH, and veteran-owned. Go to megawater.com or call 231-818-9700. That's megawater.com or call 231-818-9700. Call us today to taste the pure difference.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second segment of hour number two today with Pastor Chatfield. Pastor Chatfield, when did the convention for the Constitutional Convention, when did it start?
May 1787. and I can't give you off the top
of my
head.
That's okay. So yeah. May until, I assume, the day it was passed, ratified, signed on to, was September 17th, 1787. So basically, these guys spent the entire summer there at the convention in this process of coming up with a Constitution.
Right. They're arguing. They were brilliant men. Brilliant men. And by the way, all brilliant men don't agree. you think all these people are all educated, they agree. The more I learn about different things, the more I know I don't know. Okay, at least I know I don't know.
Right.
At least I know I don't know. But I do trust the honesty of Ben Franklin, George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison. You got to trust somebody somewhere. And above all else, I trust the Bible, the living word of God. But I don't know everything. I run into people who think I know everything. That's ridiculous. I do not know everything. Now, I read, and I'm more curious about everything now than I've ever been. It's kind of a sad state of affairs when I say, here I am, 67 years old, been teaching history for 43 years, and now I finally have got, I think, a grasp of what's going on in history, and I'm almost done. I don't know how many more years I'm going to continue. I mean, I'm not going to, I do not know. I don't know how, before I think about retirement, I don't know. It's not in my view at this point, but I know that I can't go on forever. But,
I'm sorry, but you don't get to retire.
Yeah.
Okay, this job that you and I do is not going to be a retirement thing until, you know, we absolutely lose it mentally or just pass. This is not going to be a retirement option for us. So getting to that point, though, when you look at this history, when you look at what they did in that convention, it wasn't clear throughout that entire summer that things were going well, and it looked like they were probably going to fail. They were probably going to walk away from the entire convention saying, we didn't get one.
Right, right. And the whole world was watching. The whole world was watching. I'd say the whole European world was watching. Can people meet together without slitting each other's throats and decide on a form of government? Can that happen? Is mankind able to govern themselves? Is a representative government, the idea that power starts with God and is given to the people, and those people can decide how to govern themselves and can write a constitution and have stability in their country. Can that happen? It's never happened before. I will say this, it did happen. The United States Constitution is the longest standing constitution in the world. I mean, it's worked. It was brilliant. It's worked. But these guys were all smart, real smart, very educated, not just smart, but educated. And there is a difference. Some people have a high IQ, but they're not educated. And other people might have a lot of education, but they don't have any common sense. They don't have much of an IQ. I mean, we need both. We need people that are smart, have a high IQ, have a high intellect, but they are educated. I've heard of people that seemingly have a high IQ telling me that the world is flat, the earth is flat. I say, what? you're uneducated. That's ignorant. That's just really ignorant. You might be able to do geometry or calculus better than me, but boy, you are uneducated. These men were they were smart, but they were also educated. And so Franklin is 81 years old. He is the oldest man at the convention. He didn't say a lot, but when things were about ready to break apart, June 28, 1787, there's a somewhat of a difference. Did he wrote this? Maybe somebody else, this Wilson, might have read it. I have two different people tell me two different things. But in other words, these are the words of Franklin here. They were debating, by the way, representation in Congress. I mean, how would the Congress be comprised? There was the Virginia plan, which wanted representation, two houses, but based solely on population. And then there was the New Jersey plan that wanted only one house and equal representation among the states. And they were about ready to split up. And here's what he said. Mr. President, the small progress we have made after 4 or 5 weeks, close attendance and continual reasoning with each other, our different sentiments on almost every question, several of the last producing as many nays as a's, is, methinks, a melancholy proof of the imperfection of human reason, human understanding. Yes. The answer is not in education. The answer is not in human intellect. Because these guys were honest people, but they had differences of opinion. We indeed seem to feel our own want of political wisdom, since we have been running about in search of it. We have gone back to ancient history for models of government and examined the different forms of those republics which have been formed with the seeds of their own dissolution now no longer exist. Let me just stop and say this. He said, look, they looked at different types of government. The men who wrote this were smarter than the men that wrote the new Articles of Confederation or the Constitution of the Confederate States of America later by the Southern states in 1861. Why? Because anybody could see that the destruction of the Confederacy were sown when they wrote it up. A Confederacy will never last as a government. It's just not strong enough. Just not strong enough. If you pull out, as the Southern states attempted to pull out of the Union in late 1860 and early 1861, and then they allowed other states to do the same to their Confederacy, obviously the Confederacy never would have lasted. It would not have lasted because it didn't have a strong enough central government. Now, I know all of us today think that the central government, the national government, is way too strong. I do, and I'm sure, and I know all you do. However,
absolutely.
However, back then it wasn't. You have to have a central government, and it has to be strong enough to tax. You have to have an executive. You got to have one type of money. You must have. You cannot have individual taxes, individual states taxing each other's goods coming in and out of their states. That's a prescription for chaos. It's
not only that, but trade agreements with other countries, treaties with other countries. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. My question to you, because of their education and because of their knowledge of history, when they put this together, did they ever envision the federal government we have today? Obviously not.
No.
No way.
No way.
So my question is this. What is in the Constitution that would hopefully provide a way for us, if we elect the right people, if we get the right president, if we do the right things, what can we do to possibly reverse this trend of this behemoth, ever-growing, expanding federal government?
Just start acting upon the 10th Amendment of the Constitution, believing that it exists. And the courts have got to help us here. Courts have ruled this, that, and the other. The 10th Amendment says this. It says, those powers not delegated to the United States by this Constitution or denied it by this Constitution shall be reserved for the states or the people. In other words, the 10th Amendment says this, that if the Constitution doesn't specifically give the national government the power to do something, then it doesn't have the power to do it. It can only do those specific delegated powers. The 10th Amendment is a pushback that the states required. They had to have this, or the Constitution never would have been ratified. It's part of the Bill of Rights. It's a pushback against the Necessary and Proper Clause of Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, but I'm quoting off the top of my head, that the Congress shall have the power to do all things which are necessary and proper for the execution of the foregoing powers. In other words, it said, okay, everything we, federal government, you can do what we said you can do in Article 1, Section 8, but you can pass a few more laws to make sure you can do those things. And that is also known as the elastic clause. It's been stretched way out of proportion. We wanted the 10th Amendment put in there to say, look, you can't do these things. But the 10th Amendment and the 9th Amendment are virtually ignored now. Virtually ignored by the courts. And because they're ignored by the courts, most people just say, they don't exist. Courts almost never look at the 10th Amendment. Now, how are we going to get politically to the point where we start looking at the 9th and 10th Amendment again? I don't know. That's a political calculation, but that is the answer to that.
That is the solution they provided in the Constitution.
Yes, the 10th Amendment. And again, that was a kickback to the Necessary and Proper Clause. After that was passed in the main body of the Constitution later, then just a couple of years later, a lot of the states says, no, I don't like that clause. So they simply added the 10th Amendment. And that served us well.
Right. But, because here's the point. When it was originally passed, ratified September 17, 1787, 4 years and almost 4 months, December 15, 1791, is when the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments, were actually ratified, adopted. Took them 4 years to figure out, we need to clarify a few things.
Right. And by the way, there were states that said, look, if we don't get a Bill of Rights, we're pulling out. We will. We're joining. We're ratifying this Constitution on the premise we're going to get a Bill of Rights. We have to have a Bill of Rights. And Madison says we'll get you a Bill of Rights. Madison was his first Speaker of the House, and he did. And we got a Bill of Rights. But it was iffy there for a long time. So we're getting. I'm getting in the weeds here. Let's go back to this Franklin. He says, look. We indeed seem to feel our own want of political wisdom since we have been running about in search of it. We have gone back to ancient history for models of government, examined the different forms of those republics, I already read this, which have formed the seeds of their own dissolution, no longer exist. And we have viewed modern states all around Europe, but find none of their constitutions suitable to any of our circumstances. In this situation of this assembly, groping as it were in the dark to find political truth, and scarce able to distinguish it when presented to us, how has it happened, sir, that we have not hitherto once thought of humbly applying to the Father of Lights to illuminate our understandings? In the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayer in this room for divine protection. So he says, look, back when we were in the during the Revolution, we had daily prayer asking God to help us. And he says, why haven't we done that? We were sensible to danger then. Listen, we should be sensible to danger now. Ben Franklin continues, our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of a superintendent providence in our favor. You remember, this is probably 5 years ago, I read this book on miracles during the Revolution, how George Washington and his army miraculously escaped, from New York. Just miracles.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Many stories of those.
Yes.
Time for a bottom of the hour news break. I'm Trucker Randy Bishop. He's Pastor Chatfield. We'll be right back.